Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he's in London. He writes political economics, and he's watching the Federal Reserve. Why? Well, there's an election on, and the Federal Reserve is independent of the election, independent of the presidency, independent of Congress, we're told. Joe, a very good evening to you. If I understand the remarks in your most recent column, the Federal Reserve has some explaining to do about its conduct these last years. Do we expect either a full presentation, a rationalization, a review of the possibility that mistakes were made and that the inflation of 22-23 was a product of having missed something, missed signals, and is there a correction underway? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. I mean, it would be nice to think that there is going to be that kind of reevaluation of mistakes the Fed has made over the past few years. But I think that there is reason to worry that such a thing is not going to happen. And, you know, I think we should take a step back and understand that we're talking about this right now because the Fed has rather surprisingly become a bit of a campaign issue. Usually the Fed is too nerdy to count as a campaign issue in a presidential election, but it's on people's minds because if you've gone to the supermarket lately, you might have noticed that over the past few years, we had the worst inflation in 40 years. That will tend to focus voters' attention. And so now there is a lot of debate about what to do about the Fed. I mean, there are criticisms from the left that Trump would want lower interest rates that would be inflationary in some way. And I think meanwhile, there's criticism developing on the political right that the Fed has not been introspective enough about its own mistakes over the past few years. And I think that that is a charge that people should take seriously because the Fed has not been sufficiently introspective. I think that they haven't really been honest with themselves or with the rest of the public about what the Fed does and does not know about how the economy operates right now, about what caused this inflation, about what was necessary to get us out of the inflation and how we could keep doing it again. And so we shouldn't be surprised if this is becoming a bit of an issue of debate in a presidential election, because this is the only opportunity that the voters are going to have to express their displeasure about the inflation and start wondering what ought to be done to make sure it doesn't happen again.
The inflation was missed. We can agree on that. There was an explanation that didn't stand up about the inflation, something to do with supply chain. And there was not an explanation, to my understanding, about what might have been a major contributor, that is the spending by the federal government. But you focus on two things that I've not seen debated much, groupthink and consensus. Does that work in favor of the Fed getting it right, or does that in some fashion muffle complaints?
I mean, this tends to be a real problem for the Fed, and I think helps explain how they got into this pickle. I mean, you and I have previously discussed this problem where there is too much emphasis on consensus at the Fed. So monetary policy is set by the Federal Open Market Committee, which has, I want to say, 11 members, if I'm remembering this correctly, seven of whom, including the chairman, are members of the Washington-based Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. And the rest are basically a rotation of the presidents of the regional Federal Reserve banks, where they sort of take turns, where you get a vote for a year and then you sit out for a couple years. And you know, the result of this is that policymaking has become too centralized. There's an overemphasis on the people who sit in Washington and are beholden to the Fed's research department, which has its own house view of the economy. They underweight input from people like the presidents of the regional reserve banks, who really have their finger on the pulse of what's happening out in the a diverse economy across the country. And then on top of all of that, there's this big drive to try to come up with some policy that everyone can agree with, so you'll never have any dissenting votes. And I think that that creates a situation where it's very hard for them to collect and absorb contradictory bits of information or ideas about what policy should be. And this has become a real problem for them. And I think that a difficulty here is that although they now recognize that they did make mistakes, it's hard for them to grapple with what those mistakes are as long as they're going to also stick to some of these systemic or structural problems that mean that there is not enough intellectual diversity there to really think about what those mistakes were.
My memory is that we had the pandemic, and then coming out of the pandemic, there was the question of supply chain, shortages, general problems around the world getting the right food in the right place and the right goods. And the Federal Reserve stood pat with very low interest rates. And as I recall the explanation, it's very vague. This is the end of 21, early 22. That this is momentary, that the supply chain will work itself out and the apparent inflation will go away. That didn't happen. Has there been an explanation about missing that part of the call, as opposed, we'll leave the spending till second?
No, and in fact, at times it has sounded like the Fed was doubling down on the supply chain disruption story, which is still surprisingly common, even though economically it's suspect, because I mean that would certainly explain why the costs of goods that were stuck in these supply chain bottlenecks would have risen. I mean, you expect that if there's a bottleneck and then a scarcity of something, the price will go up relative to other prices. But again, it's that relative to other prices is the important bit there. But no one was ever able to explain adequately as why it is that increases in some manufactured goods that were stuck at the port or trapped on the boat in the Pacific somewhere, why those rising prices didn't push down other prices as people were trying to sort of adjust their consumption patterns to fit the relative price changes. Instead, we had the prices basically for everything going up at the same time, which should have been a clue that there was a problem. And I think that the Fed hasn't really grappled with why it got that call wrong yet. Instead, they still often will talk about the supply chain issues as if that was a big contributor, rather than sort of understanding that there is this big puzzle about what caused the inflation, because the economy was not always behaving as you would have expected. But I think that they are not open-minded enough about other potential causes.
The campaigns now underway, which will end soon enough, have the campaigns identified an explanation for the inflation, which has become a major problem for one party and an advantage for the other?
Well, I think that the Democrats are really doing the only thing that you can do as the incumbent party, when people are sore about inflation, which is to try to pretend it's not happening, which is why you get all of these stories about how inflation is under control now. There's nothing to see or worry about anymore. Real wages are rising again. It'll all be okay. I think that what's more interesting is what happens on the Republican side, because the Republicans, as the opposition party, do have the luxury of campaigning actively on this issue. And there's been a lot of confusion. So, I mean, Donald Trump is a real estate guy. His instincts always seem to be in favor of low interest rates, always and everywhere. And so I think there is some concern that he would try to lean on the Fed to keep interest rates lower, even though that might actually be inflationary, which I mean would be ironic, because if Trump wins the election, it will be because voters were upset about inflation. No one ever accused him of consistency. But I do think that there's also some ferment developing in more serious parts of the conservative side about what you need to change about how the Fed makes decisions, or the kind of decisions that the Fed is focused on, so that you can get better results. And I think that that is an interesting debate that America hasn't seen in several decades.
Now we come to the employment mandate at the Fed. Ever since, I believe, 22, we've been expecting a recession. all through 23, and I think through most of 24, the recession word has not gone away. Does that connect in some fashion, this expectation that wasn't realized, to the Federal Reserve not being able to explain how we got into the inflationary cycle, how the employment continued to be healthy, and yet all those things are jumbled up in my memory? Is the Fed ready to put all those things together, or to say it needs fresh thinking because they all don't fit together?
I mean, that's really getting at the heart of the intellectual problem that the Fed is going to have to solve, because you're absolutely right, John, that the economy has not behaved at all in the ways that the Fed's economic models, which are based on the dominant new Keynesian economic model in academia, the way those models would have predicted. So going all the way back to the 2008 financial panic, or even before, these models did not see signs that the conditions for a financial panic were developing. And then after that, they pursued policies that were supposed to create some inflation and restore economic growth. The economic growth returned much more slowly than people had expected. The unemployment rate took a lot longer to sink than the Fed had anticipated. You didn't get inflation then at times when the Fed's models predicted there would be inflation. So you went through this whole period then where, you know, economists were going back to the drawing board and trying to rewrite all of the theories to account for this. And then all of a sudden, the pandemic rolls around and you have this massive fiscal blowout from the administration and Congress. And then you have new monetary easing and more QE and ultra low interest rates. And then suddenly they were surprised that there was inflation. And then they've been surprised about the circumstances under which the inflation has come down. Now, if you're constantly surprised because your model isn't anticipating the things that are actually happening, that might be a sign that you need a new model. But I think the Fed is quite a long way away from developing one.
The title of your piece in the Wall Street Journal editorial page is The Nerdiest. The Nerdiest. I like this nerdiest because we come to the part it is necessary, government spending. There is no indication from either campaign that the government spending is going to slow or reverse itself. My understanding is the government spending was a major contributor to the inflation we've been worried about for several years. Is that a controversial problem at the Fed? Do they talk about it, that we're waiting for leadership from the White House, but we're not going to go along? Anything like that, Joe? Or are they going to spend as far as the eye can see?
Well, I think the Fed has become very wary of wading into fiscal policy debates, partly because historically they weren't supposed to. That's not meant to be their job. And perhaps also because, I mean, if you go think back to 2020 and early 2021, Chairman Jerome Powell gave a bunch of statements and speeches and testimony to Congress that seemed to suggest that he supported the stimulus spending. He never quite endorsed it, but there were strong hints that he might be on board with it. And I suspect that they would think now that that was a bit of a mistake. And so they tried to dial back from these fiscal policy debates. But I think that a key problem here is that fiscal policy does play a role, and there needs to be more of an accounting for what that role in inflation might be. And again, this is just part of this theoretical muddle that we've got right now.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this
is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.